You're listening to Voice Memos, the show about two longtime friends who have informative, yet brief discussions about multitudinous topics. If you want to go deep into a topic, this is not the podcast for you. We keep it shallow. Now, please welcome your hosts, Jen and Myron.
You know, for our audience, it's really important to know that. It's very important for my audience or our audience to know that Myron just does whatever the fuck he wants, like legitimately. So first he tells me we can't record because of State of the Union. And then secondly, as I'm getting ready to go for my walk, he's like, ooh, hang on a second. That's 6 p.m. So I got to tell you this funny little story before we start getting into the nitty gritty.
Okay.
Because
funny political figures recognize. Yeah.
TV's okay, on and all that stuff. I remember my first recording of a podcast.
You're going to send me back to podcasting remedial school.
This is when we were doing our own intro. You took us all the way back to when we did our own intro. So it's my dad's birthday today. My dad's turned 73. Burr, 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 73. And on his birthday, I asked him to help me put a bidet in. So
go ahead. I'm just thinking of jokes. Just go ahead.
So, okay. I think I was like a 8-year-old boy because my dad is trying to be, you know, show some respect of like, okay, when the water is going towards, you know, and I go by butthole, you know, I'm like having this conversation. So he's like, okay, give it a test this out. So he leaves the room. I test. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Right. Leans up pretty nice. It was just water. So nothing to clean. Here's where the 8-year-old boy comes into effect. Because listen, we know in society, you do not see a lot of stupid videos of girls trying stuff that they know damn well they shouldn't be trying. Okay?
That's just a fact.
That's a fact. Like, we're not going to be on some skateboard holding one friend in one hand and, you know, like three glasses in the other. We're just not going to do that. So I, 3-year-old boy Jennifer, decides to say, what does the bidet do? How does it work without being on the toilet? So I get down and I hunker down and I slowly turn the nozzle, and lo and behold, I think logically I kind of knew what should happen, but I was not ready for the impact to my ear and my shirt.
Oh, my God.
Water everywhere.
It was like a spray hose to your face.
Startled the shit out of me. Like, I knew the logical concept of what a bidet does, but I was so startled with the mass spray of water that I
couldn't. Americans are so stupid.
So stupid.
We're so dumb. We don't know shit. Oh.
That's what I was doing before this call.
Oh, God. This is so good. So so you ended up, you bidet'd your face.
I bidet'd my face.
I'm a day show. Yes, you were so accurate that you became an 8-year-old boy or a 25-year-old boy. It's just like,
that don't matter.
It's like that TikTok theme song, "Dumb Ways to Die."
Oh yeah,
it was you.
I debated telling the story, but as I was waiting for you, I went to touch my sweatshirt and it's still wet.
It's a bidet shirt now, not a sweatshirt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so good.
Oh.
Okay, so with all that being said, have you used it properly? The
I legitimately have not used it like for cleaning yet. So, oh my God. You know what got me on that stupid bidet is that it was something on TikTok where someone said, "This is why Americans are dumb." And one of them said, toilet paper doesn't clean you."
This is a great, great point.
So I was like, shit, we are stupid. If all of Europe is already on the bidet train and I'm still using toilet paper, I gotta step up my game. So
Right?
that's why I got the bidet.
I'm on my way there. Like I've wanted a bidet for a while, and just this past week, I have two bathrooms, and one of the bathrooms, the flusher handle just fell off. So
Oh
I
no.
thought, oh, I'll just put it back on, right? But it turns out that how there's like a little plastic piece on the inside
Yep.
the tank. Well, that piece broke. And so there's a little bit of that plastic piece left in the handle.
Oh.
So anyway, the whole unit is
You need a whole
trash.
new toilet.
Yes, and so instead of just going to replace it that very day. It's been a few days now, but that bathroom is a vital part of our daily life around here. So the piece of plastic that remains that's attached to the little chain that pulls up the little stopper thing,
Yep.
it has the way it broke like in a L, like an L shape, but an inverted
Yep.
L, like the small part of the L is up top, and it fits perfectly on the top of like where the tank is. So all you have to do is pick it and pull it and it flushes the
Oh my.
then sit it down gently so it doesn't fall back in the water. And so, I have this thing where I don't know if this is an American thing, but I believe that if you find a very simple solution to something like that, it will delay your having to fix
A
that thing.
thousand percent, a thousand percent. Like, because you can make it work.
Right, like okay, I'm like, well, I don't have to go get a new kit today. It's working fine.
And the only time it starts to really settle in that you're an idiot is when you have people over, because then you
That's
have to tell them.
exactly. Just reach down into the tank, pull that piece of plastic.
And don't drop it all the way down.
You gotta wash your hands anyway. The water in the tank is clean. Don't let it bother you.
You're like, shit, I have to get this fixed.
So I have now an even better reason to get a bidet. So, but I have to ask you because your father installed it. Because I'm not Mr. Tool Time Tim Taylor. But
No.
how hard was it to install that thing?
It was actually really easy.
This is what I
Really
need to
easy because I
hear.
got the attachment. So it is not the, like, I can't afford a Toto, right? Toto is like the bidet toilet that has the built-in stuff. This is an attachment that you put on your toilet that you use, that you turn on when you're done using the restroom.
Really?
Yeah. And that was like $30.
So it's like a switch or something? You just turn
Yeah,
it
it's
on
a
and
little
it's.
switch. It's connected to your water line,
Okay.
and then you just turn on a little switch, and there you go. Super easy.
It's funny because you know how there's the proliferation of all the wet wipes,
Yes.
which is like the halfway point to a bidet.
Yeah, you're getting there.
Right? So Americans are moving that way, but then you start hearing. I saw someone online saying no matter what the little package says, none of them are flushable.
Right. I've seen that too.
Right. And I look on the package, it says flushable. And I was like, well, these say flushable. But then people online said, no, they do not dissolve. They're not really flushable. They're clogging up things all over the country.
And you know, I use toilet paper that doesn't use animal glue. So my
Oh.
toilet paper is probably not as thick as like northern. You know, anytime my family comes over, they're like, I don't know what kind of shit this is, but legitimately, I don't even know how you clean yourself with it. But so I think because mine's made out of bamboo and no, so it's
Oh.
like it's supposed to be processed better for your system, your pipes and all that. But the bidet will be well received by family so that they do not have to use that toilet paper.
I'm gonna get him a bidet. He probably just got it from Home Depot, huh?
I got it from Amazon.
You got it from Amazon?
Yes.
Okay, I need to check that out. All right.
Yeah.
I have this very old house. I'm always scared to do things with the plumbing because this house is just about 100 years old.
Wow, I cannot believe that.
Isn't that crazy? And you know, you hear these stories of, you know, if you have a house, an old house like that, you have plumbing, just don't mess with it. Like, it's fine. Because if you mess with that plumbing, you're gonna do the plumbing in the entire house. Uh-huh. It's gonna cost you a fortune. And my plumbing is fine. And I just be thinking, like I'm not worried about the bidet, but I have two showers, and one of my showers, the water started trickling out. I know. So I thought, well, maybe it's the shower head, right? So I replaced the shower head and it was better, but then it's like trickling out again. Cause I thought maybe it was like a, you know, those newer low pressure shower heads that just don't let water through.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's that. And so I had a plumber come over. They were looking at something else. And I said, can you look at this for me? And then they looked at it and said, you know, we called our office and they said, yeah, the age of this house and this shower, we would have to take this wall out.
Oh, my God. Yes,
it's my upstairs shower. They're like, we have to dig through this wall and try to find it and replace those pipes. And that can really turn into something big. Now, mind you, those walls are tiled walls and the tile is like 70 years old.
Oh my God. Which you probably can't even, if they break, you can't replace them. So you have to do the whole thing.
Yes. And so I just said, yeah, okay, no, thanks. I'll kick this can down the road. I'm not gonna deal with this right now. So
oh my God. I have on my shower, I have a filter so that it takes any harsh chemicals out of the water and it's filtered through. So maybe adding a filter to your shower will like stop the dripping.
That's a good point.
I'll send it to you. Like, listen, both you and I know nothing about plumbing, but right now we sound like we do. Like,
I know. Hey, you call it to a plumber's podcast. The top plumbing stories of the week.
Man, sir, there is so much. Yesterday, I wanted to say when we were talking about the primaries, I loved how you said and compared the primaries to the playoffs, because some people were thinking like, oh my God, Donald Trump is winning the presidential race, or so-and-so is winning the race. And I had to correct a couple people by saying, no, this is like the primaries. This is
like the playoffs. That's right.
The playoffs, such a good analogy.
It totally works, right? Because you have like the primaries are all the political parties have the opportunity to present their group of candidates to their party to vote for, to see who they want to represent them in the Super Bowl. Like if you think football, and so like California, a bunch of states has had their primaries there. I have them on May 6th. And so our primary was Republicans are trying to decide which candidate they will put up, you know, for the presidency in the Super Bowl. The Democrats are deciding. And so there's a slate of Republican candidates and there's a slate of Democratic candidates. And in California, you vote. We have an open primary. We can vote for anybody, right? And so we voted. We had President Biden. And I think in California, you could get on the ballot with some signatures. There's probably like 50 people on the ballot. But generally, you know, your top Democratic and Republican person is going to get the most votes. And if there's multiple candidates, which you will have when there isn't an incumbent. So, for example, when President Biden ran last time, he was in a tough competition at this stage with I think it was sort of over, but you know, Bernie Sanders was still in it.
Yeah.
You know, or if you go back to when Obama and Hillary ran, which is tightly contested. You know, half the Democrats voted for Obama, half voted for Hillary. It's a very, very close race. But this time, because you have an incumbent and he had no real competition, you know, the Democrats voted for President Biden, over, like 90% or something like that, 88-90%. But on the Republican side, you had Nikki Haley, who was contesting Donald Trump. But really, even though he has been handily winning, he has been winning like they want him to win. So he's been around 70, between 70 and 80%. Excuse me, between 65 and 80%, whereas Biden has been between 88 and 94%. So Nikki Haley has stolen some of Donald Trump's voting. So the end result was California, the most of the country who finished voting, the Republicans have selected Donald Trump to be their nominee, former President Donald Trump, and Democrats have selected President Biden. And so that's all just playoffs. It's getting us to November, the November national federal election where we decide who's going to be president. But there's also other things happening in each state. So, for example, our state, California, we were voting on who is going to represent us in the Senate because Dianne Feinstein passed away. So we're trying, there's an interim person in the job, but we're trying to get a full-time new senator. So we had a few people running for Senate, Adam Schiff, Barbara Lee, Katie Porter, were all Democrats vying for the Senate nomination. And then on the Republican side, they have former baseball player Steve Garvey running. And so Adam Schiff won for Democrats, and he's going to face Steve Garvey in November. So all this is preliminary, but you do have some things that get decided. Like there could be propositions and things like that. But on the big items, the primaries are just a step to get us to November when we vote on president and then anything else that the state has going on, like a senator. Some states may have a governor election, and then all the propositions and stuff like that. And those votes are final. These are preliminary votes.
It's funny because, you know, you start seeing idiots to say like, oh my God, Trump won California. It's no longer a blue state. And, you know, everybody's stitching it going, okay, let's give you a little lesson. Like politics should be taught every year, first grade through 12th grade, so that people understand really what it means. So it's exciting to watch it. And it's also, I think it's a really good analogy. And I know I said that like three times already, but to say that it's like the playoffs, that all
it
these
works, huh?
It really works.
Especially in America, we have such a sports focused society. So whether it's like March Madness, even that works, March Madness or baseball, football playoff, it all works. You're just going step after step. You have to keep winning to get to the final. And people sort of get that.
Yeah, we're seeing, I mean, I'm sure you've seen some of the preliminary stuff about Biden and just how he's, I mean, he's doing really well. I mean, how else could he not? Do you think there's a shift based on what's happening in Gaza and how he's, I guess stepping in would probably be the right word or right phrase, that he's making, I think today, was it today that you said he started looking at what we're sending to Israel on top of the aid that was sent into Israel?
So I think so. I think what we're seeing now is we're seeing the culmination of 9 months of very hard-nosed diplomacy, right? And so most of the things, Bilken, he's the diplomat, and then you have the president, you have the vice president, they've all been doing things to try to get the war ended, right? And so the first thing you do is you want to respect the sovereignty of the nations. Like, we are not in charge of Israel. Like, we're not the president of the world. We're not the, you know, we can't tell them what to do. We can strongly suggest. And so the first wave of diplomacy is you try to get them to back down and to slowly roll and stuff like that. And then you get like 3 or 4 months and there's no sign of it stopping. And so you try to bring all the key local players to the table. And by local, I mean Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Egypt, all these other countries who have influence on Hamas and Palestine. And then you bring the players to have influence on Israel. We have US, UK, and even countries like Switzerland or Sweden have influence. And then you try to stop the conflict, the war from spreading, because then you have all these other interests. So you have Iraq, you have Iran, you have Syria, you have stuff happening in Georgia, and then all the other players, Saudi Arabia, and so forth, right? Then you even have outside the Middle East, Russia, China, you know, all these players. And so you try to keep things down. So, and then it keeps going. So then you get to months four, six, and, you know, four, five, six, seven, and you start saying, you know what? We have to use stronger methods, because every time we not just us, but all these players have gotten ceasefire and ending of the war and medical supplies and food. Every time you got these things negotiated, nine times Hamas has said, no, we don't agree. And one or two times Israel said, no, we don't agree. And then you have all this international attention focused on this, right? And so now, even though if you're the party in power, regardless of the power that you have to stop an international war, domestically, your political enemies will blame you for it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If that war was somewhere else and you have a Republican in office, the Democrats are going to be blaming that Republican, right? It's just how our American politics tend to work. And so then you get into late, like now, you have, so now the U.S. has said, okay, you have not been a good faith negotiator, right? Up to a point you were, but Hamas kept turning you down. But while they're turning you down, you've been continuing to escalate your attacks. Now, you could twist that around, or twist is not the right word. You could change your perspective on that and say, I, as Israel, we were attacked and we still have hostages there. We want our hostages back. That's our bargaining. That's what we're bargaining on. Now, if you turn it back around to Palestinians, they say, we, the Palestinian citizens, are being bombed daily, right? We're being bombed. We don't have food. We don't have medicine. You know, we need supplies. We need water. We need all this stuff. The other side says, we are trying to get you stuff. This is us, the United States International Relief Agency. The agency is saying, we're trying to get you stuff, but it's being stolen by Hamas, your government that you elected. So now you reach these kind of stalemates where everything is bogged down. And so then you have American politics playing out. We have a presidential election going on. So you have that happening. And so you have one candidate, Donald Trump, saying, when I'm elected, I will tell Israel they need to finish the problem. They need to finish the problem. He said, we'll wipe them out. Get rid of God, get rid of it. And that's like hostile. And you have the other side saying, no, we need a negotiated settlement, and we need to make sure there's a two-state solution. The Palestinians have a state, and they're safe and secure, and Israel has a state, and they're safe and secure. And you have the local people here, you know, some influenced by outside foreign influences, saying, ceasefire now, protest, protest, protest. But underneath all of that, you have all the diplomacy happening. So now they reach a level of diplomacy where three significant things happened in the last week. On the anniversary of the march in Alabama across the Edmund Pettus Bridge that happened in the civil rights movement, it was a bloody confrontation right there. Vice President Kamala Harris addressed the people there. So it was an annual march on that bridge every year. And this time she carved out some space to say, we demand a ceasefire right now. And so anytime you have a vice president saying things as forcefully as that, that means that it's coming from the president, but the president, who's in a re-election, wants to stay a little bit above it all, right? So you send your number one person out there to deliver a blunt, hard message. And that hard message was followed up with President Kamala, or Vice President Kamala Harris, met with Netanyahu's opposition in that government. He came to the White House and met with the vice president. And that's sending a message to Netanyahu that, you know what? We've been dealing with you, but they know he's just a Trump stooge. He's no different than Trump. And he doesn't want President Biden or Democrats, just like he didn't want President Obama. He doesn't want Democrats in office. So his idea is, don't do anything, just like Trump, don't do anything that would make the Democrats look good in America, because we want them to lose. So he will keep killing people because it makes the Democrats here look bad, even though the Democrats are the ones trying to negotiate a settlement. So Vice President Kamala Harris met with the opposition in the Israeli government, and she brought him, or he came to America and met with her. So that was one significant event. Two, the second significant event, and President Biden's going to talk about this in the State of the Union speech tonight that starts in about 30 minutes. He said that he's going to, the U.S. is going to build a pier in off the shores of Palestine and Israel that will be specifically designed to deliver food and aid to Palestine. So no longer depending on international relief efforts, and no longer depending on was international relief, but they can be stopped by both Hamas, they can be stopped by Israel. The U.S. said we're going to deliver it directly ourselves. And anytime you hear something like that, that means Marines, right? That you, yep. you're talking about the logistics of building something like that. You're talking Marine. I mean, it'd be other parts of the military, but there will also be Marines. So that's a whole other level. And then the third thing that happened this week, and I think this will come out in the speech tonight as well, is President Biden has asked the military to send him a report on the weapons that are pre-purchased, already paid for, the weapons that are supposed to be delivered to Israel as part of just the standard, it's not standard, but the budgeted and already paid for allotments that go to them, just like go to a lot of other countries. And that's another thing, letting them know, you know what? You need to negotiate in good faith. We need to put an end to this and putting them on notice. So weapons appear to deliver food and meeting with the opposition there. So those methods or those actions from a U.S. standpoint towards a U.S. ally are significant.
Wow.
Yeah, that's significant stuff. And, you know, I'll say again, Jen, that the long-term interest of the United States is that we remain allies with really the only democracy in the Middle East, and that's Israel, right? They're a long-term ally. That's not going to change. However, that relationship will shift if these three things come to fruition. And the best, to me, the best option for Israel is to do what they did before. They voted him out. He got voted out, right? And they were having protests about him getting back in. And then he got back in. They've been having protests. And then that war started. Hamas started that war. And now Netanyahu is just like, I'm never going to leave. I'm just going to, you know, wipe them off the map. I'm never going to leave. And you have a lot of Israeli citizens protesting him. And I'll just move that all the way to the U.S., and it's true for any country. This is why you don't let a demagogue, a wannabe dictator, get in office, because it's hard to get them out. Because now they have the government and military at their backs, and it's hard to get them out. And that's why you can't put a crackpot like Donald Trump back in office, because it's hard to get him out. And he's pals with Netanyahu. So even if you as an American don't know Israeli politics, you don't have to. You just need to know that Netanyahu is the Donald Trump of Israel. That's all you need to know. And that's why, you know, he needs to go.
He needs to go. And I don't even know how we're talking about a convicted rapist. We're talking, I mean, the amount of absurdity in which he is, where the law is not in his favor, that he can still be on the ballot. That's baffling to me.
I don't get that, huh? Because you know what? If you put it in really simple terms, like just regular folk like us, that if you get fired from a job or asked to leave or resign, and because you say you're in management, or you don't have to be in management, but you get fired and then you know, you get charged and convicted of sexual assault or rape, right? And then you get charged by the company sues you because you stole money. And the company sues you because you tried to get other people to do illegal things. And now you have 91 indictments in four states or something, and ongoing trials. How can you come back to that company and say, hire me again. Like, that's not going to happen. The company immediately puts you on the do not rehire list.
I just can't even fathom it.
You get in an argument or you know, you steal a laptop or a cell phone or you share some company private information. Not only are you fired, you might be sued, and you're definitely on the do not rehire list.
And you're probably one of those videos, you know, that you have to watch at work, like how not to.
Right. You broke all kind of like Sarbanes-Oxley and all these weird little laws. And this guy is the number one Republican candidate for the president of the United States. This guy.
It's unbelievable. Like, I just cannot. It is dystopian. Like, I cannot even. I don't even know if I could write a story like this.
Right.
I mean, you're the writer here, but even the imagination wouldn't allow me to say, hey, it would be more of like just a made up imagination, because it couldn't be real. Like, as an outsider, this is why we are a joke amongst other countries. And honestly, I saw somebody say that there was top 10 reasons why America is stupid. But one of the top one was like, you call yourself the United States. There is nothing united about you. Like, there is no unity whatsoever. You have different laws, different people running different states. Like, there's no unification. And that was one of them. All 10 of them were accurate, but that one stood out.
I know. It's so awful, huh? And you know what? Look, we have something like 300 million people in the country. And then if you figure we have half of those are women, right? But even if you just figure out of the 300 million, say we have like 150 million who are eligible to vote or something like that, 150, 160 or something like that. And during the last election, President Biden, Kamala Harris won 81 million votes, right? And Donald Trump got 70, I think 70 or 71 million. So he lost by a landslide. He lost to Hillary by 3 million, but he lost to Biden and Harris by 10 million, right? But that's 71 million people who have said, you know, this is the best we can do. This guy right here, this is the absolute best we can do. Because even when you put, if you put him and Biden together, look, they're both old. We knew Biden was old last time he ran. He's old now. But at the same time, he's pretty effective. Like you said, you had your dad's birthday, you said 73 or something like that.
Yep.
And he came over doing your tour. He still does stuff like that. He's pretty effective. And Donald Trump is old. I think he's less mentally acute than President Biden. But even with that, even if you put all that aside, they're both two older white men, right? And so you go, okay, well, that's sort of who has dominated American politics and American, you know, for the history of this country. All right. And you go, one tends to be very decent. You know, he cracks jokes, drinks or eats ice cream. You know, he has, you know, people criticize him for having like 40 years experience in government. But it turns out that experience paid off. Infrastructure, healthcare, student loan debt. You know, working these international issues. I think I say, oh, you know, getting the pharmaceuticals, cut the prices of insulin, like working through a Republican controlled Senate to get things done, or House to get things done. And then you have this other guy who has spent over $500 million on lawyers fighting his lawsuits.
It's
remarkable, right? So our economy is booming. Unemployment is at historic lows. Unemployment for black people at historic lows. All these indicators. There's a funny picture going around online right now where on Fox News, of all places, Fox News showed a graph that showed all these like six key indicators since President Biden been elected. Everything is in the green and good.
Wow.
And they had that up because they were disputing what Donald Trump was talking about in one of his rallies. They were like, well, you know, we have to say that what he just told you is not correct. Here's what's actually correct. Like it's right there. And so if you say to a Trump supporter, why do you want Trump? And they say, well, he's better with business. Well, no, he's not. Like you don't, it's not even up to debate. You know, his business has gone bankrupt. The economy is worse after him. He put in taxes to give the wealthy a tax relief that we have to pay.
That we are paying.
Right. And he put it in so that it would spike for non-wealthy people this year in a presidential election.
Woo.
Like, it is so mean and cynical. It just, it's unbelievable. And he did that. And you go, well, okay, the economy is better under Joe Biden than it was under him. And you go, well, his businesses are all failed. And he cheated and lied. And that's why he has a $300 million, $55 million fine in New York and all that, right? Well, he has five kids by three or four different wives. You know, he was fucking around with porn stars and paying off who's a great person. No, I'm not denigrating Stormy Daniels. She did her shit, right? And paid her off, right? Because he was cheating on his wife. And he has all these issues. You go, this other guy is just a devout Catholic, married, son served in the military, died young. You know, he regularly attends mass, and his wife is a doctor or an educator or, you know, whatever. And he's just a pretty decent guy. Like, why would you pick that guy over this guy?
I have no idea. Right? Well, you said it already. You said it because the only reason, and this is your words, and I agreed with them. The only reason that outside of all of that, what you just discussed was that you can come out of the dark and you can hate openly.
You can hate openly. I think that's all it boils down to. If you want what, you know, Americans say, oh, my first name, I can say anything I want. Okay, all good, you know, whatever. And if you just want to hate openly, like, and that's what he emboldened on a larger scale than, in a larger public scale than what America was prepared for and was used to. So when he says, you know, people at the border need to get wiped out, they need to kill, you know, immediate death penalty for all drug dealers and users, and you need to wipe out Palestine, you know, and we need to, Russia needs to go ahead and, you know, we need to end NATO, and Russia needs to, you know, kick these other countries' asses, these NATO countries, yeah, kick their asses. You say stuff like that, you know, and you talk about women, talk about, you know, Latino, Hispanic folk, Black folk, but really talk about women, you know, just really bad stuff. You go, why is he appealing to you? Like, what is it in you where you go, that's what I want? And I really just think someone, his followers, just want to hate openly without any consequences. That's why they're so big on, you know, there's, you know, end cancel culture, end wokeness, you know, woke this, and like, shut up. Like, just because, you know, we want decency, you know, that we don't want, you know, I don't want you to walk up, you know, to some child, you know, some trans child or some non-binary individual or, you know, a Hispanic Latino person or a pregnant girl wants an abortion. I don't want you to walk up to them, you know, kick them out of school, ban them from getting health care, you know, like this non-binary Native girl, Native person. She was non-binary, not girl. That was a mistake. Who was beaten and died in the bathroom. You know, and they want to celebrate that kind of stuff. And it makes no sense. Like, and I don't know what you do with these kind of people, because they're citizens just like we are. And so they have the right to vote and be hateful all they want. And that's why we have to vote in larger numbers.
Yep.
You just can't let them win.
You cannot let them win. And I don't even get into conversations. I don't think I follow anybody or have anybody that is close to my life that is Republican. Now, if they do, and their acquaintances, I don't waste my time even trying to figure out why they did what they did, because they're not part of my life. But
because if you're still actively Republican right now, after what you saw in his term, and especially January 6th, I don't I don't, there's nothing I can say that can make you not be Republican.
Yeah. There's not a, you're not a true patriot if you think that was okay January 6th.
Right. You cannot be. You cannot be at all. You know what? As a matter of fact, the Republicans just put forth, it won't pass, but they just put forth the bill to basically defund the police, like take money from the Border Patrol, take money from the FBI, from the CIA, from Homeland Security, from the Justice Department, because they say, no, we don't want this type of oversight. Like, it's literally defunding the police because they don't want them watching them. It's so mind-boggling.
Because
President Biden said, look, yeah, okay, I will give, you know, another, you know, 10,000 Border Patrol agents, more equipment, we'll do all this stuff on the border. You, Congress, pass the bill, I'll sign it right now. And they put that bill together, and Republicans and Democrats got together. It was like a Republican dream. All the stuff, not all, but like 90% of the stuff they want, right? Put it all in the bill. And Donald Trump gave a press conference and said, do not sign that bill, because if you sign that bill, it'll make President Biden look better. Don't sign it. And Republicans threw it away. All that stuff they talk about the border, they had a chance to get exactly. And you know what? This is where President Biden's experience comes in. He knew they were full of shit. So he just said, okay, I'll sign it. So they had to negotiate. And then Donald Trump told them, do not do that. Now think about that, Jen. Elected officials were told by a non-elected official, ex-former president, under indictment, 91 indictments, that he told them, do not sign that. And they threw it away.
And they did. And then Biden said, I'm calling you on your bluff.
Yep, I'm calling you on your bluff.
I'm going to call you on your bluff. And he knew. He showed what really the Republicans are about.
Right. It's very cynical. It's very cynical. So all that. So every 4 years, that's what you hear. You hear. They go towards anger. Oh, the border. There's caravans of people taking over the border. We're being overrun. Nobody ever sees that. Like, that's that. They just say that to make people upset. And then they say, oh, Democrats are going to steal your guns. That kind of stuff never happens. It literally never happens. Or, you know, whatever little thing they're thinking of at the time, it's just to get their voters angry so that they go to vote. As opposed to saying, here's what we could do for you as your elected officials if you vote for us. They don't do that. They just say, here's everything that's wrong with your life. It's the Democrats' fault. Don't vote for them.
Oh, my God.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
To think about other things that are terrible, because really we're on a countdown here. We have 15 minutes until you watch a State of the Union and then give me an overview of it.
Perfect.
So I was given the challenge, rightfully taken on by you, to say, listen, you watch season 6 of Love is Blind.
Yes, let's get into it.
13 fucking episodes.
What a shit show, huh?
Oh, what a shit. And I'll tell you that I did fast forward through some of like the families talking about.
Yeah, it's just crap. Yeah. Like,
that's just filler. But yeah. I don't know how anybody can talk to somebody for 2 days through a wall. So basically you're talking to a wall and then turn around and say, I love you. And will you marry me? How is that possible?
This is that quote you said the other day when someone said, we've been through so much and you always stood by my side, like a wall.
We've been through so much. They stood at the altar and said, you've seen me through thick and thin. You've known each other 2 weeks. How is that even possible? Oh my God. What a show.
In their 20s. If you're listening, you haven't seen season 6, we're definitely going to do spoilers. So spoiler alert. So you saw it all the way through the weddings.
I saw it all the way through the weddings. I'm waiting for the reunion.
So let's talk about AD and Clay.
Okay, so from a woman's perspective, I would say that Clay is fucked up from his dad taking him to his mistress's house as a child.
What a motherfucker. Hey.
What a motherfucker. So Clay legitimately realized, like, I am not sure I can do, I need therapy. I don't think I can be your husband. All of that. Like, I respected how he said it. I just wonder, how come they don't say that before the wedding? Like, why would you put a woman through putting on a dress and bridesmaid stuff? Like, why is there a reason why they don't? Is it part of the show? Because this is my first season.
You don't have to do it. Oh. You don't have to do it. You don't have to get to that altar where that question is asked. You don't have to do it.
Wow.
And if you do it, like play there, and you say no, you are a motherfucker.
You're a motherfucker.
You went through all the family stuff, the tuxedos, the vows, you stood there while she said yes.
Oh.
Right? And he said no. And you know what? Look, I called him. That's when I called from the beginning. The moment he proposed, I said, he's not going to marry her. He's not, no matter what happens. And I'm going to tell you why. And he did it right there on the altar. Because he's an over-explainer. He explains so much. And I thought, no, he's going to get to the altar. He's going to have so much to say and say no. And that's exactly what that motherfucker did.
Yeah, he did, and made her go through. So I didn't know that part of it. Again, first season, that I was like, wow, they have to. Why can't they tell people before they go to the altar and say I do? But they can.
They can. They can opt out at any time. They don't have to go through with it. So I think that the ones that go through with it only to say no, those are people who just want reality TV moments and careers. That's what I think.
Damn.
That's right. It's just drama. And you know what? Actually, someone posted this on TikTok. There's a moment they slowed it down where the little officiant is saying the words, and they slowed it down, and Clay is looking right in AD's face, and he mouths the word, no, I'm not going to marry you. It's before he gave his official answer.
Oh, my God.
I wish she would have kicked him in the balls.
She looked fabulous in her dress. You know, her mom was all for it. I am a true supporter of women. Like, I want to see you thrive and succeed. I will be your biggest fan. I will tell you how fantastic you look, how smart you are. I could not be friends with Chelsea.
Okay, tell me what Chelsea looks like.
Chelsea's the one that says she looked like Megan Fox.
Oh, okay. She was exhausting.
Exhausting. Like, everything with her was overdramatic, was whiny and crying, and her insecurity would have turned me off. Like,
her insecurities just were a drain.
A drain. And I felt bad. Now, to her defense, though, she said, when he asked her, have you ever looked like or said you look like a celebrity? And she said, I've been told Megan Fox because of my eyes and dark hair.
Yes. She's right.
She was right.
She's right.
She's right. So yeah. I felt bad for that because, you know, everybody turned it into like she said that she looked like Megan Fox.
She never said that.
No.
No. So, and you know what? And I think, and I agree with you on that statement and everything. And then the dragging she got online, I think it's lost in the fact that she's a very attractive lady.
Yes.
Right. And she's not a, you know, 85 pound little tiny little pixie. She's a grown woman with a grown woman's body, and she's not unattractive. I mean, she's not not at all. And that Megan Fox thing got blown out of shape. But to your earlier point, yes, she's exhausting. That pouty face, that whining, that stuff. And now, okay, but to flip on the other side, the other guy, or that guy she was with,
Jimmy
was like, he was gaslighting her. He was never going to marry her. That guy was gaslighting her. He was just, you know, he would turn everything on her. And then even like the breakup was him making the excuse because she said the other couple was the top couple.
Yeah.
And he made that seem like that was like the end of his world.
Exactly.
Man, dude, shut up.
That is not the reason. And you know, Jessica showed up, the girl that Jimmy did not pick. And she knew what she was doing. Knew what she was doing. I was like, girl, that
right,
is
right. She came in like a hottie, a single mom hottie. And she came in, she was like, I'm walking around. And you know what? Jimmy was never the same.
Never the same. The power of the woman. Let me just tell you that.
It was a classic case of you have an attractive woman that you are in a relationship, you know, and on the show, you're engaged to, you're sleeping with, and then the one that you you may have liked, but you weren't certain what she looked like. She comes through. Now you're like, you know what? I want to throw everything away. I want that one.
Yeah, I want that one. Exactly. And that's exactly what he was doing when he saw her. So the concept is interesting because one couple did make it to the I do's. They seem like a really genuine.
They seem really nice, huh?
Really nice. Like super supportive of each other.
They made a cute couple.
Cute couple. So hopefully they last.
Now, the one thing about them was, she had a AD had a conversation with her. She said, have you guys had sex? And she was like, no. And AD was like, girl, don't be lying to me.
You know you'd be fucking, is what she said.
She just didn't want that on TV. I don't believe that.
That because they didn't want to get pregnant because she wasn't on birth control. So interesting because most of those, I think one is 30 but or 32, but they're all in their 20s, like early 30s, young. 20s.
That's young. And so now there's the reunion show. And because I've seen every season of this, and the reunion shows, just like all reunion shows, like there's arguing and people put up lies and there's breakups and all this kind of stuff that's really interesting. And it's just trashy TV, but it's very watchable.
Trashy. I think Netflix could cut out some of like the bullshit conversations, like I don't know, the filler stuff. But you gave me a mission. I did it. I didn't get to catch up on all my other shows, because I was really focused in on this one.
You binged it, huh?
I binged that shit. Like, even went to bed late. But it was good for trashy TV. It aligns a little bit with my like Real Housewives. So I did watch Real Housewives reunion episode 2, and I'm in the middle of Vanderpump Rules. So
okay, so Vanderpump, we're current on that, and they're in Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, God, they got some pretty shots.
Some very pretty shots. And this Sandoval guy is a nightmare.
No like accountability.
I was just saying, who raised this guy? He is absolutely awful.
Awful. And no, if he would come out and be like, I am so sorry, I did you all wrong, but he's doing what Brock said, the blame game. Like, he's literally blaming everybody else.
He won't take any accountability. If he just did that, you know, just that little bit.
That's narcissism, though, right? That's narcissism.
Because they can't, as a friendship group, they can't heal because he won't take accountability.
Exactly.
Right? That's what it is. And at first I was thinking, oh, they were overreacting, they're on the show. But then I thought, no, as a friendship group, you know, he messed up the friendship. And so we have to talk about this next week. I got some friendship stuff to talk about. I got some friendship stuff to talk about. But, sir, we also got to talk about next week, our trip to New York for this wedding that I'm in, and I'm the groom, because that is on the 23rd.
I cannot believe that we are this close. We were talking about this. So, for our audience, I am Myron's best woman. So yes. I am honored. I cannot wait to celebrate that. So yeah, that's coming up. We've got two more shows before you head to New York.
Okay.
To say I do.
Okay, we're gonna talk about somebody online asked me, like, how are you counting down? And so I took a screenshot of my phone calendar that just has like a little circle on that day. That's it. Like that's well, Eliane has this beautiful calendar, you know, in her lady lair here that, you know, it changes the days. This is all this fancy kind of stuff. I just have a circle on that day.
You're like, what am I doing this day? Let me go check my calendar.
It has no words. It has nothing. It's just it's blue because that's a little color that came out. It's
Are you, is everything done? Like anything happening? Everything all set? No,
I think about maybe 80% is done. So we fly, we get there on a Thursday, and there's some stuff that she and her aunt are doing, I don't know, for the tables maybe or something like that. I'm not quite sure. And then she picks up her dress this Saturday from the seamstress. And then I got to get my tuxedo, but I'm picking it up in New York. And then tonight we are starting to look at the seating arrangements.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the table, like that whole nightmare. Because I'm like, I don't really get to the people sit down, but I guess there's like some formalities to all this kind of stuff. So we're doing that. And then we have a final meeting with the event, the on-site event person who's in charge of the venue and who's in charge of the food and all this kind of stuff. So we meet with her via Zoom on this coming Sunday, and that's it.
That is it. Now make sure if there's any hot single guys that they're at my table.
They'll all speak Spanish, but I'm going to send them your way.
Oui, un poquito. I can ask them where the bathroom is and that I have a headache.
Well, look, these Puerto Ricans are like, they're like black people. They love booties. So I don't think you're going to have a problem.
Yes. I'm looking forward to going. And we know our friend Katya is joining, so it's really great that I have a pal to fly with, and then we're going to share a room together. So we'll have to talk any wedding stuff. This has been pretty seamless. No drama or anything coming up with it.
No, we got love a couple it. little small things, but just logistical kind of things. But Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about some more next week.
Okay, awesome. I know. Get ready. I know you got to get your popcorn.
Yes, gonna see this review.
I love you as always. This has always been fun. And do not, for a PSA, you don't have to know what the bidet does.
We're going to talk about that bidet, that facial debate, bidet some more.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Love this podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review. Visit the episode description to find out how you can connect with the hosts on social media. Voice Memos is a production of Dear Dean Publishing. All rights and trademarks reserved. No portion of this podcast shall be reproduced commercially without consent.